Okay, Cook here, just checking in before we get into this episode. It may contain some spoilers for the series Stranger Things. So if you haven't watched it yet, don't blame us if you listen to this and we say bits that reveal certain things, okay? Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up!
No, after you.
After me. After you. After
okay, me. I'll go. No, you go.
I go. Anyone else here can go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
Oh, and that's going to be a nice little link, isn't it, to this episode? But before that, hold the horses. So, I hope people enjoyed the... could have saved that for Seagull Corner.
It says it's not coming out again. Oh, that's one for the outro.
Back on track.
Yeah.
So we released live reviews last week, so this is back to a more traditional format. Excited about something that we both love today. We don't know where we're going to go with this one, do we?
Going to what we both love. I mean, that could go a different way.
We'll wait and see. It's nothing to do with telly. It's got four walls and says beer. It's a pub! It's been a couple of weeks to review challenges. Mm-hmm. I think last time you were nursing an injury.
I was.
And you were coming, slowly re-entering the gymnasium and getting back into activity. But I think I just told you to reflect on why do you work out?
Yeah.
What do you enjoy about it? So, what reflections came?
Yeah, so it's interest sort of thinking why I work out. And I've kind of realised that it's my decompression time.
Mm.
Especially at the end of the day, if I do at the end of the day, it's my chance to reflect, to escape, to shake off anything that I've been holding on to or push things, you know, physically feeling the force. Before work, it's almost like prepping me, like warming up, you know, just getting some endorphins firing. So then the rest of the day, I've got A, the energy, but B, also sort of a bit of the feel good factor that it can come from it. Resilience with setbacks, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
I'm very aware of that. I probably benefited from having the week off. Going back, I'm feeling a lot fitter, stronger, doing better. But it's an important thing for me, for socially as well, but also it's something I've always done.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been there for me. And I think now I'm really starting to appreciate the coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And not just of going to the gym, but like today, just walking here. I was just like, I could drive, but actually, you know what? It'll take me an extra 15 minutes if I walk. So why don't I walk, get out, get some movement going, keep the, you know, motion is the lotion.
Yeah, that's
right.
You
know,
with
joints, with aches, with things like that. So yeah, that's kind of just where I'm at. And obviously I set you a task of having a bit of a rave with me.
Well, we don't mind having a rave, do we?
We don't,
in a can.
No.
And I think it was long overdue. The track, what I always like when we get together with stuff like that is just the music. It could be anything, couldn't it? Like, you know, I think there's tracks that we both love, then we try and introduce some new stuff to each other, don't we, as well? So I think, you know, it was probably the most eclectic rave known to man. But you know what, like, just having a jig about in nature, do you know what I mean? To dance around, like, be careful that phrasing, but having a dance in a beautiful setting, like, you know, having a chat. Coed Mawr is like our spiritual home, isn't it? Like, you know, we especially during lockdown when we were going through difficult times, we'd escape, wouldn't we, up there? So I think it was good to go back, wasn't it? How did you find it? Do you enjoy the rave?
Oh, it was great fun. Yeah, I don't think I've done that many steps in 10 minutes before in my life.
But stomping away.
It was just nice, just like you said, just be back to nature, getting a bit of music in and just almost like the peace that it brings as well. Still, you know, it's like whilst the music's playing, you don't have to talk. You know, and I've really found again, sort of unconsciously, it's weird, like wondering, like thinking, do I need to use my voice all the time?
Yeah.
You know, can I like just?
When you got here today, this is the first time you spoke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And what time do you get? You're like half past one, something like that.
So and that was quite nice. Just
give your vocal cords a rest. Mm. Have you done this before? You know, if you've had a morning where you haven't spoken or anything. So like when I go away with work, I find that. You just have I lost one, like, is it there? Like But I think what's interesting though as well, and maybe we didn't think about this at the time, but maybe we were talking through the songs we're selecting. Because you do something through feeling, don't you? If you want something a bit more upbeat, you want something a bit more where lyrically it means something, or you want something that makes you dance, something that makes you reflect. So that's why I think music's very powerful in what songs people, I like asking people, send me a couple of songs for a playlist and yeah. see what they send back. And I bet if you ask them a different day, yeah. you'll get different songs.
Yeah.
Because it depends on your mood, doesn't it?
Yeah. So. That's why I like with collaborations. Like, I'll play a song and then from there you have to pick a song that
was yes.
you know, or goes in. Yeah. So this.
So let's do, we're going to have a feast for people today from a music perspective and from a TV perspective as well. So let's get on with it.
Perspective.
Okay, traditional format episode today.
Woo!
Woo! Excited. We love you guests, but sometimes we like doing this as well, don't we?
We do, yeah.
No, to be honest with you, probably... Yeah, we just wanted to strike while the iron was hot with Stranger Things, didn't
we? Because we want to jump on this bandwagon.
We want to jump on the Kate Bush bandwagon, don't we, with Stranger Things? Because she has made a couple of cool mil out of this, which we'll go into later. But yeah. no, you know, we're going to talk about Stranger Things and a series that we both got into when it dropped on Netflix in Series 1. And we were just talking actually off air, we were going to start, and I think start at the start, isn't it? You know, I remember people talking about it. And, you know, like these days... series are just dropped, aren't they? Well, yeah. I noticed it now, like with The Boys, which is another one we're enjoying, maybe come back to in the future because we're making our way through, where they've reverted back to, even on stream service, we drop an episode every Tuesday to try and spread it out. And obviously, with Stranger Things in season 4 as well, they messed with the format, didn't they? Because they had a gap for the last two episodes, or last episode split into two. But the first episode for me is called The Vanishing of Will Byers. And I remember just as soon as it came on, I got hairs on the back of my neck now, because it was like all the films I loved in the 80s. Obviously, it was a 90s kid, but I was watching all the films of the 80s, right? And it was so odd. I'd not seen anything like it before. And then obviously it goes into the shed, disappears, and then the dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, the amazing title track that they use on there. Is it Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein, I think it is now, who make the soundtrack? And I would just remember sitting there, I'm in. I was like, I am in. And I think like that first, I think I watched the first season in two nights, I would say. I think I watched five episodes. I thought, I've got to go to bed. I've got work in the morning. So I watched five episodes. But if you remember the first season, I think they were probably between 40 and 50 minutes long. But what about you?
I'd say shorter. This isn't something me and Charlotte watch.
No.
Normally. Not at all. I'll be honest, not a big fan of sci-fi. Most people gasp when I say I've never seen Alien, never seen The Matrix, not fussed on
it. Talk about that.
No. But, we were a bit hesitant. You know, a lot of people saying, watch it, watch it, watch it. So, you know, we did. And I just think we didn't really look back. You were just sucked into this world of... And like you said, you know, the soundtrack for me got me.
Yeah.
Straight away. The intro, you know. And then I just thought I'd have a quick look at just some of the bands that just appeared in episode one. And you've got like Jefferson Airplane in there. The Seeds are in there.
Clash.
Toto. Africa. Yeah. You know, so it's just... That I think it, listening to the music, I know I've mentioned before, Derry Girls I've recently watched, it's exactly the same. It's the music got me into it, and that's just shows the power it can bring. But yeah, I think that's kind of, just didn't look back.
And it's like, it's thought about, isn't it? Because when we were doing the research for it, we both came across an article about, they call it syncing, don't they? So it's where there's actually people who work for massive music, the industry, as we said, were there and think about how they can work with people making popular TV programs and inserting songs into them that may be classics, but are gonna people are gonna hear them and go, oh my god, because if you hear music without visuals, it's powerful enough.
Yeah.
But if you nail it on a visual, like I think of Tarantino when he makes films, he makes amazing soundtracks. And I remember watching an interview with him before where he's like, quite often, there's a song I love so much, and then I think about what scene I'm going to write around that song. Do you know what I mean? I think about like Stuck in the Middle with You, we've mentioned before. If you think of Stuck in the Middle with You and you're a Tarantino fan, you know instantly what that means. So with Stranger Things, this whole article about singing, I'd never ever heard about it. I didn't know that it was a thing.
No, didn't know it was a job at all.
But there's a guy called Jonathan Palmer, where he said, and he's involved in singing, we'll be hearing about this for the next 10 years at least, in terms of a reference point in marketing meetings. Now, Kate Bush released that song on Hounds of Love, which was in 1985, right? Massive hit in the UK, because Kate Bush was big in the UK, but around places like America, definitely didn't really break America. But in royalties... two, and this is in the early days of it, so over like a 5-day period, 6-day period, $2.3 million from streaming. And you think a play only earns you 0.7 of a pence or something like that. Something ridiculous. Mm. But what I did like, though, is Kate, she was actually a fan of Stranger Things. Mm. So she wrote on a blog, because she's very mysterious, isn't she, Kate? Yeah. But she keeps herself to herself. But she ended up being on like BBC Radio. Well, she's in demand, wasn't she? But she put, I'd only seen the scenes that directly involved the use of the track at the time. Mm. And so I didn't know how the story would evolve or build. So I was so delighted that the Duffer Brothers wanted to use Running Up the Hill for Max's totem. But now, having seen the whole of this last series, I feel deeply honoured that the song was chosen to become a part of their roller coaster journey. And I can't imagine the amount of hard work that's gone into making something on this scale. I am in awe. They've made something really spectacular. Now, that's amazing itself. But that's because the last season was epic.
Epic.
Every episode, wasn't it? Now, we were talking, like, but you were saying about time flies.
It did, yeah. The last episode's 2.5 hours. And no, I think we paused it once, probably because I needed a wee to just make a quick cup of tea. It was like, we need to pause this quick. I need to go. And but it was also trying to find the right time to pause, because it was just everything was happening. But also, yeah, sort of the thing which I guess is happening now, but music, you know, like that one, you know, like Metallica.
Yes,
as well,
they were climbing the charts and as well.
So that was 1986, Master of Puppets was used. And it's introducing that music to a whole new generation.
Of course it is.
You know, it's the fact that all these songs, you know, you speak to, let's say, for example, a teenager now about Kate Bush and Metallica, they'll go, oh, Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's what
And that's going to live on. That song will live on then for them. But Metallica did the same. So they released a video of them actually playing along with Eddie.
That's right. Yeah, with Eddie. Yeah, because he can play. He played it, Eddie, didn't he? The actor. Yeah.
You know, so it is. It's huge. Another thing, I think either this article or another one was saying, is just the impact of the fact that Stranger Things dropped worldwide at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, people previously it was like things would be in America and it would just, you know, we'd have to wait a while for it to come out and then the songs would come out with it. Yeah. Whereas now it's like, no, it's all dropping at once.
Yeah.
So worldwide, everyone was hearing Kate Bush.
Same time.
At the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was going for it, which is why there was such a big boost.
Crazy. And I want to get like a little bugbear off my chest about people have been commenting about, oh, well, Kate Bush had this music, you know, fans of Kate, you know, this is how new generations find music, isn't
exactly.
it? Through films and through telly. And the great thing is that Kate Bush has said, she, you know, she really welcomes everyone who sent her lovely messages, and it's great to see the music living on. I mean, it's a phenomenal song, right? Like, anyway, like, it's a song I liked. I tell you what, the first proper time I tuned into it was Danny Boyle used it in the closing ceremony of the 2016 Olympics. You can watch it online if people haven't. And I watched that and I thought, wow. Like, I'd heard the song before, but it just worked with the visuals and, like, with everything else. So from my perspective, I think let people find this music at different ages, how they find it. You know, if it wasn't for Stranger Things, you wouldn't find it. We talked about the double-edged sword on Blue Amber of the music industry. On one hand, there's, like, it's a nightmare, we know that, and it's really tough, particularly for smaller artists. But at the same time, if I got a band that I like over here, I can instantly share that with people who I know like music, bands I like, and they can go straight in and access it and see if that's something they want to support further on. So
it's it made me think, you know, as you're talking, I was like, without watching a TV programme, I would never have heard of They Might Be Giants.
And
that was Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Without the Malcolm in the Middle theme tune. Like, I think it's Laszlo Bane does the Scrubs theme tune. Superman.
Yes.
So it's like, I, you know, it's through that that I found out about some of these bands as well, you know. So it's an ongoing thing. And like I said, with Derry Goes, you know, people might be hearing some of the 90s
music. It's a great soundtrack on
there,
yeah.
The soundtrack for that for the first time, you know, and picking up from there.
It's so important. I'm a nightmare, Sarah says. Like, every time it's a problem, I got my phone out and I go, what's that song from that scene? And I add it to a playlist. And like, you know, that's how I find so, because there's people out there who, people like us who love music, but their job is to select song. Like, what a job. Yeah, I've always thought that's an amazing job.
Yeah.
Like,
I've got this scene. What will fit in with this?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
I just go through my back catalogue. A scene, like, as you know, the acting is amazing, and we'll go on to that in a second. But, like, music, just it just adds to it. I mean, that scene of the running up the hill bit where she's opens the vortex, and it's like they work it out, don't they? Like, the music can get you out of that underground world. You're on the edge of your seat, your palms are sweating, like,
it's epic. It's literally, like, that's how I describe
epic.
A lot of the way they use their music is just epic. But also they have they add like humour into it.
They do.
Sometimes as well. So the end of season one with Never Ending Story.
That's right.
You know, with Dustin singing it. And actually, I watched the clip just before coming over. But actually, it is quite an inspirational bit as well.
Because
you have everyone in all their different situations hearing this song coming through. And then, but then it's, you know, is that actually how we describe Stranger Things? Is it going to be, is that saying like it's a bit of a never ending story?
Yeah.
You know, without getting spoilers away, is it going to keep going, keep going? But then it's also harking back to the film,
where
the song came from. So there's so much.
It's so good.
And it's so rich. And I, the Duffer Bros obviously, a fan, you know, they must be fans of
80s.
Everything. Yeah.
80s. Everything 80s.
Every 80s full stop. Yeah.
But I love, like, I was reading, so there's so many brilliant little bits and pieces have come out of it. Like, apparently Winona Ryder was so good in it, and she like, but she was, she really wanted to make sure that they got the 80s references right, so she worked with the Duffer Brothers and the writers to cross reference things. Was that happening in like 1985? You know, just to make sure they really got the tone of it right. Now for most people, unless you're a proper child of the 80s and no, you wouldn't know, most people wouldn't notice. But this attention to detail, isn't it, that adds that extra, it adds the authenticity. We talk about a lot, don't we, on the pod. But yeah, go on.
And that, linking in with that, something I read, I think it must have been yesterday, that the Duffer Brothers are actually editing episodes that are already out.
I've seen,
Because there's little plot holes or continuity errors, and they're going back and they're fixing.
I love that.
These things, which I really like, because obviously, one of the most recent ones is the bottle of water in Game of Thrones.
That's right.
Or like Starbucks cup, whatever it was, that wasn't noticed. But actually going back, and so long as it's only just editing that bit, because obviously they could have a whole new storyline twist they just chuck in. So then you have to go back and watch season one again.
You can imagine doing watch it all the way just through. Just a mess with your head,
I can't, there was a program that it was at the end, it, like depending on which, what time you watched it, it had a different ending. I can't remember, I'm sure it was on, it was a Black Mirror thing, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, sure it was Black Mirror. There were different endings.
That's right, because Netflix started to introduce a thing with certain shows like Black Mirror,
where
you could select different options because it was interactive.
Yes, yes.
The interactive
programme on Black Mirror. Yeah. And I can't remember what it was called now.
I know. If you find it, drop it in, because it was just
Bandersnatch.
That's the one.
Yeah, and I watched that about three or four times.
Just to get through the different bits.
Just to get
bits,
through the different things, yeah.
But it's cool in that they're trying different things. You know, and I love, like, you know, it's all right to hold the hands up, it's all right to make mistakes, especially in that last season. It's so epic.
Yeah.
I mean, even the normal episodes, like an hour and 20, hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a film.
You're watching a film.
You're looking at like 10 films, basically, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that.
No.
You know, like, if you, like, Lord of the Rings is epic.
Yeah.
But you know you're going to sit down and you're going to watch a three hour or so film. I think if that last episode was going to go for another 2.5 hours, I would have sat down at 7 and watched it till midnight. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have been bothered.
Yeah.
You know, because it was
I was genuinely rooted to my seat.
And we should probably then. That's because, aside from the music, the acting.
The acting is,
is superb.
So good. Yeah.
And like I've talked about before, you know, it's hard for child actors because they're children. You know, and like developing feeling and how you get across certain emotions at a young age, you know, is not an easy thing to do. But I think this group that they've got, obviously the adults in there as well. Like, you know, I'm thinking like Hopper, do you know, like he's fantastic.
Yeah,
in
he's
it.
On the West End at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in a play on
the West End. I saw him on the telly.
Yeah.
And his body transformation has been ridiculous, hasn't it? But, you know, I just think if you look at the kids, there's so much you can relate to in real life. If you think of Max, like she, such a great character, and what she goes through with her brother, is it in season 2 or 3 when he gets taken over, doesn't he, and controlled by,
I want to say season 3.
I think it is at the mall, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she has to watch that happen. But it's her broken home. And there's different things, like 11, you could almost like say the centre that she's in with kids, it's like when kids go into care.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously this is about kids having talent and they're trying to harness that for purposes we're still not entirely sure of in Stranger Things, but it's to harness their power to fight the Cold War, by the look of it, against Russia, which I'll link on to in a minute. But yeah, you probably, like, you know, you work with children in the past and things like that. You do see different elements of real life in there, don't you? About like how these actors are portraying. Some of them have got the perfect family. Do you mean some of them haven't? Some have broken homes. Some haven't got their parents. You know, so I think how they introduce that is interesting.
They're all, trying to work out the best way to put it, they're all almost rejects coming together.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the sort of the geeky Dungeons and Dragons bit, you've got the person who doesn't fit in, you've got the wannabe jock who almost doesn't. Well, he falls into that wrong crowd, you know, and it shows the impact that that can have. I've just been looking, you know, just sort of some of the actors. I didn't even realise Millie Bobby Brown's in Modern Family. Me and Charlotte just started watching that.
Oh, so wow,
I'll keep my eyes open for when she unless she's in it from the start, and I just haven't recognised her.
Yeah, I'm just trying to
from
think
the start. So yeah, but then it's, you know, for me, obviously, you know, it's massive for these kids having this opportunity, but then it's always make sure they don't just get tarnished with this brush as well. So obviously Finn, I can't remember who he plays. I've forgotten the guy's name. But he's in Ghostbusters Afterlife.
That's right. He is.
So they are trying, which is kind of a similar thing because it's like a throwback to Ghostbusters. Mike. That's what
Mike,
he plays.
Yeah.
But, interesting. He's also got a band.
Yeah, he has, Finn. Yeah. No, he has got a band. Yeah, because I was following that as well. And he tell you who else has, I'll come back to it in a minute. I'm just trying to think, where is she? Is it Erica? No, it's not. Maya Hawke.
Oh, wow.
So Maya Hawke plays Robin. Yeah. She does music herself under her own name because she is Ethan Hawke's daughter.
Ah, okay. Same age as us. Ethan 10 years younger than us. Not same age as us.
Yeah, definitely younger.
yeah, same age as us. We're 24, aren't we?
But it's interesting.
I've just seen who her mum is.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah. So it's Uma Thurman. I'm just trying to think of it, but she releases music. But you're right. I think if you look at, we linked it to Harry Potter, didn't we? Because if you look at Harry Potter, for a lot of those actors,
to try and break out of that,
it's hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, they were set up for life, weren't they? Because they were in such a great franchise, you know, that they were always going to be okay. Same for Stranger Things actors. But I'm sure they've got ambitions beyond that. You know, I know Millie Bobby Brown's and some other stuff. Such a great actress, by the way. You know, and Kayla McLaughlin, Natalie Dyer. You just hope Charlie Hens, all these people, like you said, are not defined by that. I'm sure they were picked because they're good actors.
Yeah, although they've got it for another 2 years.
Yes, so, I know.
You know, and that's the track. And I know for a fact, like, you know, I've just said, I can't wait another 2 years.
I know. But can you imagine the pressures on them, though, as well as kids? Because they were doing their exams through the first lot, weren't they? Yeah. And trying to do that with the... This is a big thing in, like, Comic-Con, isn't it? They got to have to do a lot of, like, Comic-Con and a lot of press. How much pressure is that put on a kid, like?
Yeah. Well, that's, like, exactly the same with Harry Potter, sort of watching them. You know, and they were being schooled whilst they were performing, and it's just fascinating. But I also want to touch, obviously you mentioned about the mall and stuff, but I'm actually Hawkins, so fun fact is I've actually been there.
Have you?
So I did the Stranger Things experience.
You did, sorry. Yes, you did.
Just after we'd met, just before this weird, you know, virus thing was happening, we travelled down to London and we were in a room with thousands of other people.
Yes, that's right.
It was an immersive experience and it was absolutely fantastic that you had, so you're in the mall, and you had to visit different characters. You're in different groups. You had to dress up like the 80s. Brilliant. So I had double denim.
You
went to
that.
The cabin in the woods.
Okay, yeah,
you went to the bunker. You know, so you, and then you went into this one, also just industrial size warehouse where they acted it all out. But you also had the Demogorgons going around as well.
Did you? Wow.
Like appearing and screaming, and just the immersive experience was incredible. But all the time you had the music going.
And the
so
music
the background
is just
was
so
all
good.
80s music. You know, so you just see people singing. You know, there was like one area where you went and danced, you know, like a disco style thing. And the actors were really good.
Really good.
Like they were, I mean, some had to keep a distance just because they didn't look the best. But you know, the performances, the mannerisms they had. But
that's like immersive theatre.
It was.
Isn't it?
Massively. Yeah.
No, I think they're and they're redoing it off the back of this season, aren't they? I did see something the other day where the Stranger Things experience can be in London. I'd be really interested actually to go and have a look at that, because that's what comes with this. Like in this day and age with technology now, the fact that, because people watching, like, I want to go to Hawkins now, I want to go back to the 80s. Did you feel like you're in the 80s?
Oh, definitely.
Did you?
Because you had to dress, everybody had to dress as if they're in the 80s.
It's brilliant. Was it in London when you went?
That's a good question. It was away. I want to say Shepherd's Bush, but I might be wrong.
I'm just wondering because like what kind of venue would hold that? But a couple of other things. Some of Comic Con and the effect it has on fans. You know, because again, I think this is a bit for people who feel like they don't fit in. Do you know what I mean? This is like, you know, they could probably, you can all relate to that one of the characters, can't you? Do you know what I mean? You can all relate. But I watched an interview with Joseph Quinn, who plays Eddie Munson, who as well did play the guitar part, didn't he, to Master of Puppets. He can play that, and he played along with Metallica, as you said, online afterwards. But he was there doing a Q&A and at a Comic Con, and I think it was in the UK, and a fan, they went to this girl in the crowd,
yes,
and the girl said the it's not a question, and then probably for 2-3 minutes just said how much he meant to her and so many other people in the way he plays character. And I gotta say, considering he was in that season, he's one of my favourites.
Definitely.
He's so good. And he was crying, wasn't he, on that video? Because he was so touched.
Yeah, the character development of, like, just how quickly he was in.
Yeah.
Like, you were in there. You were there straight away with him.
Because he looked like he was the tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, a bit naughty, he could get drugs for people. But when you started digging under the layers, like, he lived in a trailer park with his uncle, didn't he?
Just how quickly they built that storyline. Right, it took him 2 episodes. And you love, like, you were right, okay, I'm on board with him.
I'm hoping he's still out there somewhere.
Spoiler.
Well, we've done loads of spoilers anyway. So
I mean, that's a good thing. It's literally anything can happen.
Yes.
Like, they could do whatever they want.
And that is the cool thing. Like, you know, with me, we're on different things with sci-fi. Like, I love sci-fi. And that's because it's not real world.
Mm.
So you can do what you want.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to mess around with things and, like, open up different vortex stuff, you can do.
Mm.
I think what's... Go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, however, going on to not real world, I know you found an interesting story.
I did.
As well. So, sort of,
well,
nice segue in there.
We've shared the article for people to go into, and I found another one, actually, that sort of got a little bit more as well, so I'll do that bit first.
And this is where we're trying to beat Blind Boy, aren't we? Because I think he'll probably catch on to this one.
We're hoping we beat him to it.
Yeah.
Because he would really... This is something he would do a hot take on, he would go deep dive on.
Yeah.
But anyway, so... They say that this is inspired by real events, and I think the Duffer Brothers have sort of touched on it in interviews as well, but Montauk is a place in the state of New York, and according to certain conspiracy theories, the CIA conducted experiments on children. Now, the experiments, according to the unproven reports in this part, but there are some proven underneath, which I'll come on to, included mind reading, mind control, and even trying to do time travel at the Camp Hero Air Force Base. And a man named Preston Nichols released a book about it, and he was an electrical engineer in Montauk. And he said he found himself on the Screwball Project, which became known as the Montauk Project. Mm. We began to look at how you could interface minds with computer systems. The idea being you could fly a fighter plane by pure thought. And they looked at seeing could they open up vortexes. And if you watch Stranger Things, there's a vortex that takes you from America to Russia, isn't it, and stuff like that. So it's very Cold War-y, isn't it? And you know, it's got that underlying stuff. But the inspiration is actually then... It goes on. So the MK Ultra project, so further inspiration for the show, draws from confirmed CIA projects like that of the 1953 MK Ultra project. So this was created by the CIA in 1953 with the aim of developing mind control techniques to get the upper hand on Russia during the Cold War. And they're like, no, this was actually a thing.
Mm.
So basically, unwitting participants were subjected to physical and mental abuse via psychedelic drugs, sleep deprivation, and other experimental means. Now, the 50s was when acid started coming in, LSD, and they used it was completely legal.
Mm.
And if you watch what happens in the 60s with the music scene, people used to go to universities, listen to like Jeff Snareplay and Grateful Dead, and there'd be like a vat of acid in the middle of the room, and they'd be scooping cups of it out and drinking it, right? But I remember watching, there's a great documentary about the Grateful Dead. We won't go down that route now, or maybe do a pod about it in the future. But it's on Amazon Prime, it's fab, it's like an 8-parter. And it really shows the subculture of drugs that ran alongside the music industry. But then obviously, they're like, oh, well actually, it's mind altering.
Yeah.
So what can that do? You know what I mean? So they started to use like, you see a bloke in a shirt, he looks like he's an office worker. And they start subjecting him to acid tests. Mm. And you can see he's in dreamland and he's so happy.
Yeah.
And this guy doing the experiment is talking to him constantly. And he goes, I'd actually like you to stop talking, please, because you're really interrupting my experience. Like, you know, and he's obviously seeing whatever he's seeing. But sometimes fact is stranger than fiction.
Mm.
But the Duffer Brothers have talked about that was an inspiration for this show. So we're not conspiracy theories on you. But, you know,
there was a helicopter circling, though, as you were talking about. I don't know whether you heard it.
He's mostly bugged. So. Like, it's the Russians listening.
If we disappear, try and find us.
Try and come find us in the upside down.
Yeah. We'll be walking on our hands.
Vecna. By the way, we've got to touch on Vecna. Oh.
Because he's terrifying. Yeah. But his character storyline, again, was so well done.
So good.
Like, I get, like, looking, you know, like you said, almost like childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Building up, being rejected, having this power to eventually, you know, what happened. And to just the storyline.
So good.
All the way through. No, yeah.
There were so many gaps in the 11 story because you knew there was other numbers. She was number 11.
Yeah.
But then when you find out he's number one.
Yeah.
But you can almost see that he wants 11 to go because he knows 11's power.
Yeah.
But there is still something about like 11 when she uses all her rage.
Mm.
Like, it's so cool.
It is.
Her face changes. Yeah. The nosebleed starts. Puts him through the wall.
It's releasing everything she's held on to. Almost like...
Just like therapy, didn't you?
Yeah.
You've talked, move, what you need to do to get this energy out. And you've talked so many different things you see. Mm-hmm. I want to watch it now.
I know, should we watch it?
Of course.
Just not move. Just order takeaway and takeaway beer and we'll just watch everything. So interesting, my mum started, I think, 2 weeks ago and she's on season 4 already.
Wow.
So she's going to have finished it.
Well, funny enough, I went for a works... We have a summer do. Mm. And we're on a canal boat. Yeah. We're going down and I was playing music at the back, like we played Run Up That
DJ,
Hill.
DJ.
And I was playing Run Up That Hill. And I got in, someone on the boat said, oh, stop that Stranger Thing. I said, well, yeah. I said, you know, it's been used on that and obviously really, really gone down amazingly well. And she was saying, oh, can I... My daughter really wants to watch. I think her daughter's 15. Mm. I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
I said, start at season one because at the beginning. Mm. It really builds, but... You know what? Like, when you're in, like, I'm not surprised. And then I checked in with her a couple of days ago. We're up to season 3, and it was in days.
Yeah.
Right? And she was she's like, we've pretty much only done that this weekend. Like,
which is great.
And I was like, but how from the Duffer brothers, you know, working together? What a thing to say we've succeeded on.
Yeah.
You know, that worldwide impact. And I remember what's his name, Harbour, who plays Hopper, isn't it? David Harbour.
David Harbour. Yeah.
He said when he was presented to him, I watched an interview with him on telly, and he was like. He said, when I read it, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be involved. I said, but I didn't think it was going to be like a success. He said, I genuinely said, you get some scripts and you go, that's a hit.
Yeah.
That's it. He said, I don't know. Mm. Like, I really don't. He said, boy, obviously the biggest thing I've ever worked. It's the biggest thing I've worked in.
Yeah.
But any closing thoughts on it, mate?
I just encourage, on Spotify, so they've got all the songs. There's definitely season one. It's quite cool. So you can have the instrumental bit. But then there's also there's a playlist where you've got some of it's Will, isn't it? Should I say or should I go?
Yeah.
So that opens it, then it goes into some music, then you've got like 11, just some quotes from 11 through. So it's kind of built in throughout
the series.
And that was quite a cool immersive experience for me, sort of listening to that. And if you haven't watched it, we haven't spoiled it that much for you.
Please
watch it.
And then tell us what you think.
Tell us what you think.
Seagull corner.
I'm
going to try and guess what it is.
I don't know what that was.
If the listeners want to guess what it is, do you want to name Bryn's?
Me in pain.
This could be like a new segment. Bryn's noises.
My noises. God, I do enough of those in a day.
Now, I found an article the other day that I think,
have you?
And it's quite strange thing. All right. And I think I found out why we're friends. So I'm going to read the article to you because I haven't sent it to you, have I?
No.
I found it in private eye, but it's actually a real article from the Japan Times that was put out on the 25th of June.
That time I went to Japan. Yeah.
Remember that time?
Yeah.
So this is the article. Strap yourselves in, everyone. Non-human terrestrial mammals constantly sniff themselves and each other, Inbal Ravrabi told journalists at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Rehovot. And decide who is friend or foe on this basis. Since people seek friends who are similar to themselves, our team hypothesised that humans may smell themselves and others to subconsciously estimate body odour similarity and judge their compatibility. To find out, we collected samples from pairs of same-sex, non-romantic friends who described themselves as having clicked at first sight. That is where a sense of friendship had formed before extensive biographical information was exchanged. We recruited 20 pairs, half male, half female, aged between 22 and 39 years old. They each slept alone in clean cotton t-shirts, which were individually collected the next morning in Ziploc bags and tested with an electronic nose. Our research found that the odour signatures of click friends were statistically more closely matched than odours between non-friends. These results seem to confirm the hypotheses that similar smells might spur friendship. Furthermore, chemical similarity in their odours, as tested by the Enos, successfully predicted mutual clicks in 77% of cases and predicted 68% of cases where both sides did not click. What's more, the closer people's smell was, the more they reported liking each other, understanding each other, and feeling greater chemistry between themselves.
So it wasn't weird when I sniffed your armpit the first time we met then.
Bryn didn't say hello.
No.
Just sniffed my... Oh, no, I never say it.
Sniffed your armpit. We'll stick at that one. We'll leave it at that. Nice one.
Anyone any more on that? No. Like, you don't want to open up that vortex, do you?
Voyage.
Yep, so a big thank you to Bramwyn. My sister finally pinned it down and got her to say it. Gwenc Leanne did record another one as
she
well.
She did.
She's just addicted, but also obviously she's rewarded with Fanta, and you got to see a quick video of Gwenc Leanne on Fanta.
Can I just say, this is what happens when you give kids sugar.
Yeah,
well done, Uncle Bray.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
She went slightly mad, didn't she?
She did, she did. Yeah. I'm looking forward to when I introduce Nora to Fanta.
Oh, goodness. It's bad enough for some chocolate.
But, yeah, challenge time. You know, we do it sometimes well-being, sometimes a bit of fun. Things for everyone to try. QE didn't set us any new ones. I think we shut him down when he tried to.
Don't speak, QE.
Don't speak. That's our challenge to him. Don't speak. But if people do have ideas, please get in touch. Let us know. You know, we'll claim them for our own. But yeah, so what have you got for me? What am I doing?
I'm going to give you three options.
Oof.
Right?
Okay.
And I don't care which one you do.
Okay.
Right? So it's either to watch Blade Runner, new or old.
Okay.
Listen to the Blade Runner soundtrack. I don't think you'd do it, but because of the time it would take. But we'll have a little read of Do Androids Dream, of Sheep, I think it's called, which is the book of Blade Runner is played on. Okay. But obviously you've got, the soundtrack's 54 minutes.
Cool.
The film is about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Cool.
Or the book takes the time it takes to read a book.
Fab. And I'm sure it's one of my father-in-law's favourite films.
So is it?
You should watch it. Yeah.
You ever seen it? Because you haven't seen it. I'm just thinking we're going to dip your toe more into sci-fi.
Oh, no.
And see... Yeah. If you wholeheartedly reject it, then we'll shut that avenue down.
Brent says no. Yeah, but yeah, soundtrack. I mean, I can definitely do the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I will. I'll try and watch the film. For you, so interesting. You mentioned it partly through the Stranger Things bit. And it's something, so it's kind of built from the psychologist Arthur Yanov. And it's linked in with Primal Therapy.
Okay.
It's linked in with technically a band. Your challenge is to have a go with a primal scream. It's described, so it helps people with a wide range of issues such as anxiety, depression, rage. It's a chance to really get in tune with your body and just release whatever's out there. Obviously don't do it just so you're falling asleep, because I don't think Sarah will be impressed. But find somewhere and just have a go at a primal scream.
You know, when we do the John Lennon episode,
mm-hmm.
remind me to talk about that, because he spent time with Yanov, I think, and did it, because he was,
maybe that could be a spoiler for an upcoming episode.
Well, I won't go any further. Ooh. Let's leave it there. Let's leave it dangling.
Outro.
Sound a bit more excited.
Oh, sorry.
You've done a lot of work today. You've been very productive.
We have been productive. Yeah, we've recorded 25 podcasts.
none of the information could be up to date.
Nope, none of it will be
just
up to date.
Just going to check it out.
Yeah, it's just going to appear at some point. I know you've brought something with you. For me, it's just encouraging people. Just carry on getting in touch. You know, Stranger Things, let us know your thoughts.
Is
there an iconic moment? I'll put a question up on Spotify. If there's an iconic moment for you with Stranger Things, let us
know.
Maybe
we ask on Instagram. We'll ask some maybe questions ask on Instagram.
I'll try and remember on Instagram. If I haven't asked on Instagram, let me know.
We ask some questions. We do want people to enjoy. We know people listen, and sometimes you just don't think to do. You have it in the background, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's great to have your thoughts. Also, just put a touch on my bit. The world's a bit shit at the minute as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we do set little reminders now and again. Go back. We've got so many pods on there. What's this, number 66, I think?
Yeah.
Right, but piles of little mini challenges you can do, things you can do to distract yourself. Mindful coffee is a quick one, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, mindful coffee is a massive one. You know, just to start your day.
Put your phone to one side before you start work. Give yourself 15 minutes to sit and let the thoughts come. Be present, you know, and...
Charge your phone somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've started doing that again. Purge I did that on Instagram recently. Got rid of over 200 people on following.
Yeah, you said. Yeah. That was mood driven for you as well, wasn't it?
That was, yeah.
But I just came across a book. So Wales is a land.
Wales
is a land of fairy tales, myths, legends. I came across a book by Claire Fayers called Welsh Fairy Tales, Myths and Legends, where she's adapted fairy tale stories, but like some are from the Mabinogion, which is a famous book, you know, that links to Welsh history. Classic stories that she's adapted that you can read to kids.
Yeah.
Basically. So, well, if I'm home or I'm not away for work, every night I read Nora, one of her favourites, like Shifty McGifty or Octopants.
Oh, I love that book as well.
Like, all right.
I read that every night.
It's got lots of stories, lots of pictures. And then we have a fairy tale.
Oh, I love it.
So it tells you like the story behind how the Welsh flag got its red dragon on it, for example. Then just down to like stories about giants and fairies and kings. But each story is like 8 or 9 pages.
Oh. Perfect.
So, and every time I start reading it to Nora, by then she falls asleep, and then the next night she asks for a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So I think she likes to fall asleep to.
And it almost takes her into a dreamland then.
It does.
Which is great, yeah.
Remember the book you gave me, you bought in down Cornwall way?
I did, about the hero's journey.
Yeah.
In Padstow. Yeah.
And you can fill in your own story after it, can't you?
Yeah, you just carry on.
But yeah, please keep in touch. We are hopefully off on a little jolly, aren't we, in a couple of days? All being well. And
so those listeners outside of Wales, keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, because we might knock your door.
We may appear asking for money, shelter, running away from the police.
Maya, I know where you drink as well. You get a tap on your shoulder.
An alibi. So, yeah.
Jack the Ripper tours, you know, all that stuff.
Don't give away where we're going.
I said Jack the Tripper.
Jack the Tripper, yeah. I wouldn't want to meet him. I know. He's either way into Stranger Things
or
he's very clumsy.
Just trips me.
Right, let's go. Let's go.
Until next time, try from me.
Try from him.